Praise the Lord. We're going to go today and take a look at a passage of Scripture again that we started in last week. If you've got a Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Numbers, if you would. Numbers, starting at chapter 13, verse 1. It's a story that many of us are familiar with. God had told Abraham, "I'm giving you the promised land." About 500 years later, almost 500 years later at this point, they're at the edge of the promised land. And we pick up the story in verse 1 of chapter 13. And the King James is fine. And this is what it says. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send you men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." That's a great phrase. We'll talk about that maybe some other time. Every one a ruler among them. All right, let's go down to verse 23. "And they came to the brook of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with one, only one, cluster of grapes, and they bore it between two of them upon a staff." So one cluster of grapes had to be carried by two people. They also brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Okay, verse 27. The spies get back after being in for 40 days, and then this is what they say, verse 27. "And they told him and said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it." Here you go. Here's a display, a sample of what we found. Verse 28, "Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." All right, down to verse 30. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men," verse 31, "that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched to the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants." And I love this phrase, "and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were," or "so we became in their sight." I want us to back up to verse 32 for just a second. And it says the 10 spies that were talking to the congregation of Israel, and it says they brought up an evil report. Why do you think it calls it an evil report? They were just telling the facts, right? They went in and said, the crops are amazing, but the people are big. And the Lord calls it an evil report. The Bible in the commentary about them said it was an evil report. We talked a little bit about this last week if you weren't here. We as people, ever since Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we have a tendency to want to figure everything out. We have a tendency to get our yellow pad out and, okay, you know, I want to figure this out. I can figure this out. You know, do we have more money this month, or do we have more month than money? You know, okay, let's write this down. Let's figure it out. Do I have a good enough speech prepared for my boss that he'll give me a raise, or will he have some points that'll outweigh me? Are we stronger than they, or are they stronger than we? The Bible calls that an evil report. It's interesting. Why would God say that they were bringing an evil report when all they did was share their version of the facts? I made a comment last week that for some of us, there's this desire to get all the information that we can. And that is, in effect, eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I'll give you a couple of examples. We have a pain in our body, and we say, well, I know God's going to heal me, but let's at least go to the doctor and find out what it is. But the Bible, according to that verse, would call that an evil report. It's interesting. We want to know, okay, just give me all the facts, give me good and bad, I'll try to weigh it out then. The Bible says that would be an evil report. Okay, I'm going to mess with some of you. We watch the evening news, and we say, they're just sharing with me the facts around the world, what's going on. But that's all these guys were doing. The crops are good, but the people are big. In our opinion, we're not able to do it. They were looking at the problem. We talked at the last healing school about it's, and the one before, it's not about the problem. It's not even about the promise that God gives you. Sometimes we quote verses over and over like they're a formula or something. It's about the promiser. It's about the one who wrote the promise, who gave the promise in the first place. And the Lord says that looking at the problem, listening to the problem, is an evil report. Chapter 14, verse 11. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be before they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them?" Okay, this same people, not very long before that, were in Israel and watched hailstones fall out of the sky on half the land and not on the other half. They watched darkness cover the earth, literally, and there's a line, the Bible says, between Egypt and Goshen, and it was dark on one side and not dark on the other side. Okay, that seems physically impossible. It was. It was supernatural. They watched flies and frogs and everything attack the people of Egypt and didn't touch them. They came to the Red Sea, they watched it wall up on both sides, and they passed through on dry land. They watched water, enough water come out of a rock to feed what would be the size of the Metroplex. 2, 3, 4, 5 million people were out there, according to the Bible, and enough water came out to feed them and all their flocks out of a rock when Moses struck the rock. Since when is it ever are we stronger than they? Since when was it ever for them about, are we good enough, big enough, strong enough to deal with this situation? Every other situation that they encountered, they watched God work a miracle. And in this situation, they got out their yellow pad. Okay, let's look at the pros and cons. Are we able or are they able? And the 10 spies says, we're not able. And God said, how long before they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? How long till they get it's not about them? It's not about the problem that they face. It's about me. In Philippians 4:8, he gives a list of the things that we're to think about. He says, whatever is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, think on these things. I'm just going to submit that maybe the Lord did not give us this verse to steal all of our fun, but to set us up for success, that when we come to a situation like this, we've been used to thinking on the good things. We've been used to not thinking about the situation. We've been used to thinking about what God says is true. I hear people all the time say, yes, but my diagnosis is real. I really do have whatever it is. Yes, but I really don't make enough money to pay all my bills. Yes, I really am in whatever it is. But that's the problem. Since when is our life ever supposed to be defined by the problem? Caleb says we are well able, in verse 30, we read it, of chapter 13. But I want to read chapter 14, verse 8. This is why they said we are well able. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land. They knew that it wasn't ever about them in the first place. If the Lord delights in us, he's going to do it. Just like he did the stuff in Egypt, just like he did the stuff at the Red Sea, just like he did water out of a rock. If the Lord delights in us, he'll bring us in. It's not about us. We spend so much time with our yellow pads, as it were, eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And let me just weigh this out. I can figure this out. And it's not supposed to be about us figuring it out. It's supposed to be us learning to say, okay, Lord, you're bigger. I trust you. If the Lord is pleased with me, he'll bring me in. I don't know if you remember what God originally says to Moses. Moses says, God, how can I do this? God says, I'll be with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Moses asked several questions. Well, what if Pharaoh doesn't listen to me? I'll be with you. Every question that Moses had, God's answer was, I'll be with you. For God, that solved all the answers. God calls this an evil report because they look at the problem, the facts, if you will, instead of the truth. There's facts, and then there's truth. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, tells us that we have weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And then it says, casting down imaginations is the word the King James uses. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself above or against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That word imaginations is actually the Greek word logismos or logismos. It's where we get our word logic from. It literally says, get rid of your rational thoughts about what you think ought to happen. Get rid of your trying to figure things out. Cast it down and take every thought to the obedience of Christ. What did Jesus do? Well, let's see. He walked on water. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. I think he can probably handle whatever it is I'm going through. So let me challenge you, as I did last week. Let's stop listening to the evil report, which we call the evening news. Well, it's just what's happening around the world, but it challenges your faith in mine. Now, for Joshua and Caleb, I will say this. They were able to hear the evil report and still have faith. And so if you're spending 10 times as much time in the Word of God than you are watching the evening news, then you might have the ability to still walk in faith. But why listen to the evil report and have that challenge your faith when it's never been about that anyway? Caleb said, if the Lord's pleased with us, he'll bring us in. Amen? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I know that this is what you're trying to do in me and in Lord in us too, is to lift our eyes up, Lord, where they belong in the first place. Lord, we should never take our eyes off of you, but we do, Lord, and then we get stuck looking at the problem. Lord, many of us have worked ourselves into fear by what we see on the news or what we hear from the doctor, and Lord, it's never been about the problem. Lord, I'm grateful, Lord, that we belong to you, and so for us, it's never going to be about the problem. For us, Lord, you're the one that's going to bring us in. That's why we're able. That's why we are well able. Because it's you, Lord. It's all about you. Father, I pray that even today, as some people are looking for a healing, that they'll meet the healer, Lord. That they'll find the healer, come to know you, and Lord, the healing will follow. Lord, that they'll meet the promiser, and whatever the promise is, Lord, it'll follow. Father, thank you for what you're doing in us, in Jesus' name. Amen.